Hello and welcome to the Dallas Soccer Show. I'm Dustin Nation, and making his triumphant return to the mic this evening is Tristan Vick. How's it going, Tristan?
I am doing great, as long as it doesn't thunder or lightning or make any loud noises. My kids will stay asleep, and I will be able to record.
I'll try not to get too excited in this episode. So, all right. That's possible. All right, well, let's take a look back. We've FC Dallas played Atlanta on the weekend on Saturday night in Atlanta, a place where we didn't fare so well last time we visited on its opening night. Mm-hmm. However, in this game, we walked away with a 2-1 victory. Tristan, why don't you kind of take us through that match as you saw it?
Yeah, so you're right. We haven't played there since 2017, and our first match there was the first match that Atlanta played there, and that meant that we faced a pretty tough home crowd. It was a little bit of a different feel going into this game in terms of Atlanta's had a pretty rough start to the season. A ton of squad turnover there, but the big news, obviously, was no Miguel Almirón, who was sold to Newcastle United in the January transfer window. And they've tried to replace him with the Martinez guy from Argentina.
Pity Martinez.
Yeah, there's a lot of Martinezes on this team. And so, because you can say Martinez guy, but the Martinez guy on this team is Joseph Martinez. Like I was saying, Atlanta United's had kind of a rough start to the season. And so FC Dallas kind of came in on a little bit of a high after a good home win, holding onto a lead back home, rainy night in Frisco, and still had a little bit of squad turnover, guys nursing their way back to being fully healthy. Jesus Ferreira leading the line up top. And what we had was a new lineup, right? You had the kind of a 5-3-2 look with regards to Jesus and Barrios up top, Pamukkal and Paxton in the middle, and then Cirillo and Guerrero kind of the dual sixes, and Hollingshead and Cannon out wide with Ziegler, Bresson, and Hedges kind of getting the start as the center backs.
Yeah, three at the back.
Yeah, it's different, but I thought it was in the third degree write-up did a good job of explaining kind of the difference between this and what we've seen in previous matches. And if you had watched FC Dallas, you kind of maybe have been or watched them over the past few years, you probably were expecting the passing game that Lucci Ball has kind of been known for. But instead, you got more of an Oscar Pereira throwback game where we kind of set back on the counter and launched some long ball attacks. The best example of that was the first goal. What did you think of the way that we were able to kind of slice through the middle and then spread them out wide with the opening goal?
Yeah, I think that you're right that you could tell just by looking at the lineup when they released it that we're going to play that kind of, bunker ball. We're going to try to absorb a lot of pressure in the whole game. When you go three at the back, you know, it's either you're going to go on your front foot or you're going to try to absorb pressure. And it's quite obvious with the attacking talents of Atlanta that we were going to kind of bunker and then counter. Then, you know, in the sixth minute, Barrios gets that ball, that ball through the middle, turns, beats his man, is off to the races, and then finds Jesus Ferreira on the end of a scintillating cross, and he slots it past Guzan. I think that when you've got Barrios in space, that's exactly where you want him, and he's gonna eat. We saw it last year whenever he was up top. He was playing a little bit more of an advanced role than he normally does. He's kind of off to the right a little bit. Also kind of center at times. And that position is where he really tore apart Sporting Kansas City last year. And, you know, you could see he's got that chemistry with Jesus Ferreira and with really anybody else on the team. He had a fantastic night. And I think that the bend but don't break strategy worked out really well. And
no, that's true. It's hard to put words into it because we just exploited them on the counter, exposed Breck Shea, who was actually doing a decent job of keeping up with Barrios, but was still trailing and out of position. And then you had quite a nice pass that was pretty square on, and Jesus Ferreira kind of did his thing. And you really can't say more than that they just executed, which is what you want from a team on the road. It's not going to get a lot of opportunities. And I mean, our passing stats were like half of what we're used to. We usually have like 600 passes in the game, and we weren't even at 300. So
yeah, I'll get into the stats here in a bit. But yeah, there's a whole lot of statistical lows we had in this game, and yet we still came away with the W.
Yeah, it's pretty spectacular that this is a team that even last year we were losing going in the 82nd minute, and then random Tesho, I'm going to show up and actually do something, and took the lead and kind of stole 3 points last time. So you can't say they weren't motivated.
Yeah. Before we move on from that first goal with Jesus Ferreira, I'd just like to point out that it's so nice to have a guy, and it doesn't matter whether he's 18 or not, so nice to have a guy on the team that can put a chance like that away.
Yeah.
It's we've been kind of, I guess, unlucky, or we've had some strikers up top that have just not been able to put that type of ball away. And the way he collects the ball with his right foot and then uses the same foot to put it past Guzan, it's just the kid is poised. He's got it. I'm looking forward to, I mean, he's Baji's back now. Has he been ousted as the number one center forward?
I think right now you have to go with that. You also have to kind of maybe look at your matchup, because I think Baji does give you a little bit, I don't know that direct's the right word, but he's still got some pace and can spread his defense out. That being said, I don't see any reason to change things up at the moment. Up top, I think Ferreira is still your starter. He's not done anything to lose the spot. I don't think his age really plays a factor. That's what we're seeing time and time again with Lucci, is it doesn't really matter how old you are. It's about being able to make the most of the opportunity. And so as long as you're making the most of your opportunity, you're going to get the start. And that's definitely the case with Jesus Ferreira currently.
For sure. There's other examples of that we'll get to here in a bit. But I want to move us on in this game and talk about that second goal. So we had been absorbing pressure pretty much the majority of the second half. And then in the 84th minute, Brian Costa had been subbed in, and completely against the run of play, Sarillo finds Barrios on this long, lofty. Yes. I'll make one of the fat white kid from Oklahoma.
Keep going. This is great.
All right. So Sarillo finds Barrios on this long, lofty cross. I guess it's kind of like a through ball from like a corner route, if you will. And then Barrios is able to get another one of those crosses in right behind the defender. And Brian Acosta, the king of the volley, volleys at home to put us up 2-0.
Yeah, this one was a little bit less spectacular as his first one that he had earlier in the season. But you're right, the king of the volley. And what a way to make your return into the team. It sounds like there's still a little bit of a question mark as to whether or not he's going to be the starter in the next match. Because Rio's same thing. He hasn't done a whole lot to lose his spot. Guerrero hasn't either. But yeah, it was a pretty spectacular goal. And if FC Dallas fans we're hoping for early season MVP candidates besides Paxton, who's kind of emerged as a really key player. I mean, Barrios continues to add to the assist totals, the goal totals. He's really shaping up to have one of his best seasons in an FC Dallas uniform.
Yes, and very exciting to watch.
It's a sneaky good season. So,
for sure. I think one other thing I'd like to, like, I was watching this highlight on a random, like, I just randomly watched it again on Twitter, and they showed an angle of Acosta running. It was from behind the goal and above, and it was showing Acosta, and as he was running past the tired defender, you could just see the defender kind of look over and see that he wasn't watching Acosta at all. And then he got in the field of view, and you could just watch the defender just get deflated because he knew immediately he was beat. It was really funny to watch.
It's kind of like watching Arsenal when we defend. So yeah, that's never a good sign when you lose track of your man. That being said, that's great instinct by Acosta to kind of take the opportunity and make the most of it and really exploit that Atlanta United defense. I think we're kind of skipping one of the biggest parts, though, and we got to talk about the game that Jesse Gonzalez had.
Yes.
No yellow cards for time wasting.
He did get a yellow card for time wasting.
Did he?
Yes, in the 74th minute.
Oh, okay. I missed that. All right. you got the yellow card for time wasting, and then...
It wouldn't be a game without...
Yes. But he proceeded to have probably his best game as an FC Dallas player. I'd have to go back and look, but did a great job of stopping some of the chances and opportunities that Atlanta United created. Had some great saves on free kicks, which that's what you want your keeper to do. You set up the wall, and then you're responsible after that. And he came through. So. Big game for Jesse Gonzalez. I think going forward, we're going to want to see that more and more consistent type of decision-making. And I mean, the shot stopping was great. His positioning and free kicks was really good. And I think he's getting more vocal out there with regards to the defense, which we already have two pretty vocal guys with Ziegler and Hedges, but having Jesse back there to kind of just help marshal things is really key for when we concede, especially on the road, when you concede free kicks and set pieces. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that was really awesome to see Jesse have such a good game. He's got to be really proud, full of confidence going into this weekend. I think he made the MLS team of the week.
He did.
For whatever that's worth.
Yeah.
And we had like two or three other guys on there, but at the end of the day, Jesse Gonzalez is the man of the match, I think, because without him, man, I don't think Maurer's a bad keeper, but he made some special saves. So I think that was really good to see. And hey, we closed the game out again. So,
yeah. So I'd like to talk a little bit more about Jesse. We talked on this show before the season started, just watching those preseason games, just about how much more vocal he had been, and it's good to see that it's staying. He seemed this season to have a whole lot more confidence and a lot more authoritativeness than he has in the past, and the team actually listens to him this season, whereas before, if he'd yell, you could see the players just kind of look back and give him a look, you know. And so it's good to see. And one of the things we talked about at the beginning of the season is he can win you games, but he's also going to lose you some games just with some of the decisions he makes. I mean, knock on wood, there haven't really been a whole lot of the bad ones this season, just besides the time wasting, which, I think that's just what we get with him. But I mean, hopefully the smart play continues and there's not a whole lot of just howlers out there for him left. So yeah, definitely my man of the match as well. Followed very closely by Barrios, as we've already talked about.
Yeah, that's a good one. I think you're right. He's getting better. He'll definitely learn, mature, kind of be more aware of that. But yeah, the time wasting thing, I think it's just going to come with the, as he grows, but I was impressed. I was very impressed. And going on a road, like going on the road like that, it makes it pretty clear that the East is just really not a high caliber this season. The West is going to need, we're going to need to have some big performances on the road, similar to what we had last year on in a couple of those matches, like the win in Sporting Kansas City on their home turf. We'll need to get a result in the matches we play against Houston. So to get a win like this under your belt after getting a big win in at RSL, not the two best teams right now on based on current form, but two teams that have tough home field advantages, RSL for the elevation and Atlanta United for just the general atmosphere that's created at a stadium like that. That's going to be huge when we go play away to at teams like at the, like the Galaxy, like LAFC and Seattle, and wanting to get a result. So I'm looking forward to them.
Not alone to be to handle that huge crowd. We made a good portion of them leave early.
Yes, I did see the shots of some of the crowd leaving early, which
I kind of made fun of it a little bit. But then I was thinking to myself, man, they've got more people leaving early than we get in our stands.
Yeah, that's kind of a tough spot for FC Dallas fans to be able to criticize another crowd for leaving early, because at least they showed up. you know, true. What can you say? That being said, I was impressed. I'm not going to lie. The biggest part of it was in terms of not just the performance, but I felt like Lucci in his postgame comments was pretty measured. He wasn't, there wasn't a whole lot of like hype, I guess you could say, coming out of it, which a year ago, if you'd gotten this result, that would have been, it would have been the hype train would have just been off the hook. But because Atlanta United had such a bad start to the season, just seems like it's a really muted win. But like, let's not forget, like United had, Atlanta had a big win the week before on the road and was expected to kind of perform up to that going forward. But you never know.
I want to take a second and talk a little bit more about Edwin Cerillo and Paxton Pomykal and
the Reggie midfield. Cannon.
Just more so the young players all stepping up and making an impact immediately as they come in. You know, we saw Thomas Roberts, whenever he came in, score that goal. We've seen Paxton has become a pivotal point of the midfield. We talked about it. John Arnold talked a little bit about it in our Extra Time Reaction show, available on YouTube, on our YouTube channel. Dallas Soccer Show plug, but it's like the Lucci has every confidence, every bit of confidence in those guys, and he's able to just pick them up and put them in. And I think that kind of speaks to his knowledge of the players, his intimate knowledge of them, having been their, I guess, academy director for the past couple of years, and also the systems just working together well from the youth to the first team. But what I'm concerned about, and I was thinking about this today, and then Carter Baum kind of tweeted it later in the day, and it was just kind of weird. But is this summer we're gonna need even more of those young guys, because if you look at players talking about going to World Cups, under 20, under 17 World Cups, possibly with I guess it would be maybe Paxton and Jesus going to the 20s, and then maybe Cerillo going to the 17 World Cup, possibly. And then you've got the Gold Cup and the, is it the CONCACAF Nations League or the Nations League or something? There's like two tournaments this summer for the national teams. I mean, we're going to be depleted this summer. And I think that we see the youth shining now. I think we're going to see it more later.
Yeah, that's an interesting shout. I would be a little pissed if they took two guys off the team for the U20 World Cup. Just my opinion, but it would be a little bit unfair. I haven't seen much with regards to how that's going to be. But if you look at some of the past squad, it's definitely a possibility that you lose a Paxton or a Cerrillo. I don't know that we would lose Jesus. I think there's plenty of guys that could get called in, but I could also see a situation where maybe Paxton doesn't get called in and they take Jesus instead. There's probably more depth at the number 10 style position than as a center forward. Depends on if Josh Sargent is at the Gold Cup or if Josh Sargent's at the U20 World Cup. If he is at the Gold Cup, then there's a high likelihood that Ferreira probably gets the call up. But on the other hand, if they say, hey, go back there and play again. Because he played there in 17 when he was only, 2 years ago when he was 17. Mm-hmm. So there's chance for both. But
and my mistake earlier, I said Sotillo for the 17 World Cup. That would be Ricardo Pepi that's probably going to be called up for that. And Sotillo is on the outskirts of making that under 20 World Cup team.
So, yeah, that's... That'll be a good shot. I'm not, honestly, I haven't looked at it for what the past squads had been, so I couldn't tell you. But I will say it's rare that they call in more than two players on a team. And even then, it's pretty rare that they do two because the squads are only 21.
So even if they don't, we've still got, Grezo and Acosta and maybe Matt Hedges. And
who would you like to lose?
Who do I want to lose, or who do I think we should?
If you had to lose Jesus, Ferreira, Paxton, or Cerrillo,
who would I want
for one of these tournaments?
If I had to lose one, I'd say probably Jesus, because we've got Baji and Andrasik to back him up, whereas Cerrillo's holding down that midfield spot, as is Pomacall. But as I said, Grezo and Acosta will be gone. So I think that if we could hold on to one of those two guys, that'd make our lives a lot easier.
Yeah, I agree. Now, I will say, let's look at how Honduras does in the Gold Cup, because when was the last one? 2017 Gold Cup?
Yep.
I haven't looked at how much, how well they've done, but if Honduras doesn't do much, he may only be gone for a week or two or a couple of weeks, the week before the tournament and then 10 days of the tournament. And then, they went out in the quarters. So they played four games in total.
Yep.
So it could be a situation where, depending on their group draw, they start, he's out beginning in July and then is back before the end of July. So you only miss him for a month.
That would be ideal for the FC Dallas point of view. However, things like that never seem to go FC Dallas's way.
No, they don't. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on. Let's take our view and swing it forward to our next match against San Jose this Saturday. I believe it's an afternoon match.
Mm-hmm. I will be there.
I will not. I will be camping with my father and father-in-law and drinking all the beers. Well, maybe not all of them, but the
You're
good
going
ones.
Camping?
Yeah. Well, I'm not camping. We'll have RVs Traeger grills. But it will be at the lake, and it will be, outside, and there might be bugs and stuff. So that's camping, right?
Sure, I suppose.
Anyways.
Not for me, but go for it.
I think it's more about the time we spend together than the accommodations we spend that time in.
Yeah. I've still not bought into that, but you anyway, guys go right ahead with, I'll do the beer part.
Well, you're welcome to come join us. So we got San Jose. They'll be fresh off of playing Seattle on Wednesday. So I guess that's, as of the time of this recording, that would be tomorrow night. So they'll be on a short turnaround, traveling to Dallas. They've kind of had a little bit of a mixed bag this season so far. A lot of losses, but they beat Sporting Kansas City, who I guess it turns out is not as good as we thought they were going to be this season. But on the other side, San Jose is kind of one of our bogey teams, them in Colorado. We just can't ever seem to beat them when we should.
Oh, so, I hope we shellac these guys. If this team can't be motivated for this team, for this match, we're in for a long season of strange happenings, because this is the team that, if you remember, this was the match where it was, is Oscar going to get his 100th win?
Yep.
Did he ever get the 100th win?
He did. I remember that because that was our first night as credentialed media. So, because we wanted to go to the press conference and talk to Oscar after the game to celebrate his 100th win.
That's right.
It didn't happen.
Yeah.
Is that also the one that was rain delayed too?
Yes. That one was very rain delayed. They beat him like 3-1, 4-1. It was a pretty rough result. Unexpected. San Jose was terrible. And yeah, I mean, they've had a couple wins. All of their matches except for one have had some result, either a win or a loss. So I think somebody's going to come out of here with 3 points. The question is, who's going to be that team? Because you would think FC Dallas stands pretty good, but I think that Lucci's got to really get them focused after a pretty good win. They seem to be really excited about the Atlanta United win, which is good. It's a good win to have, but there's one of the advantages of playing all those off week games is that we don't have as many midweek games. And so, I mean, you got a team that's coming in from playing in the Pacific Northwest on Wednesday, and they're going to play an early game on Saturday. So let's say they get done playing Saturday night, 11:30 Central Time. So Thursday sometime, they're flying to Dallas. Friday, they have the train, and then they get up on Saturday morning and they're playing a game by noon off their body clocks. So you got a lot of advantages for FC Dallas, in my opinion, in this game. Just,
and it's supposed to be hot.
Yeah, the weather will be in their favor. Our team will be relatively rested because it's been a pretty cool week here in North Texas. Some rain here and there, but for the most part, it's been in the 60s and 70s. It's been great. Yeah. Great weather during the day. So our players will be fresh.
On paper, it looks like we've got a lot of advantages. However, they've got the Wondolowski factor. He seems to pop his head up and score on us randomly or at will.
Yeah, I've never been a fan of Chris Wondolowski, but he definitely can't argue with his record. So
and then they've also got a player as a Dutch player named Danny Hoesen, who has, I think he's got 3 or 4 goals already this season, and he had a brace against Kansas City. So hopefully we can keep him under control. He's tall. He's like 6'1". So Hedges and Ziegler will have their hands full with him.
Yeah, we've been pretty good off set pieces. A couple of the goals have been just kind of messy clearances, not so much the size of the players causing the issue, I don't feel like, as much as it's been
just chaos and lost markers.
Yeah, just not a lot of good communication in the 6-yard box. And so, yeah, I've watched a little bit of San Jose. I've watched when they got destroyed by was it Kansas City or LAFC? LAFC put a bunch past them. And then I watched the game where they destroyed Kansas City. And part of that was, I think, Kansas City kind of self-destructed and versus San Jose doing anything particularly well. You obviously have to execute. So I don't know. I think that FC Dallas should be the favorite going into this. Be on the lookout though. You've got a pretty sneaky coach in terms of their new manager. He's a fiery Argentinian. I watched him over the weekend, some of the San Jose highlights, and that is a guy that he feels it. He's not quite Klopp level feeling it, but he gets into it and he's got the hair. I think most of it's just he wants to shake his hair out.
He's got just Almeida.
Yeah, he's got some good locks. So part of it's, I think, just wants to be seen. But the other part of it is I think he's actually really invested in the team. So it should be a good match, though. Come on out if you don't have tickets. We need people there, as we've said earlier. Atlanta had more people leaving than showing up to ours.
Yeah, it should be a beautiful day. Hope you enjoy it. I will probably be following via the phone. I won't be out of cell phone range, but Tristan, it was good having you back, man.
Yeah, work's settled down, so I should be able to step in, and we've kind of got the bed thing on a good roll as long as there aren't too big of storms.
For the kids.
Yeah, for the kids. So we should be good though. But
explain that to the listeners what's been going on. But
yeah, no, it's just crazy stuff with the kids and not sleeping and having to help put them back to bed. So it makes it recording tough. But
well, I'm glad you were able to make it tonight.
Yeah,
got some of that rust shaken off, and we can do this again next week after an FC Dallas victory over San Jose.
Hey man, let's hope. Let's hope.
You betcha. All right, everybody. That's it for this show. You can find us online at DallasSoccerShow.com, on Twitter at DallasSoccerShow with no E. And hope you guys all have a great week. Take it easy.